Congregation, we turn now to a scripture reading that ties in with our text this morning. So I invite you to turn with me to the Gospel according to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, reading the verses 1 till 8. Our text this morning concerns what it is to truly pray. And here we see an aspect we will see in this, the part that means we have to be always in prayer. Luke 18 from verse 1. And he, our Lord Jesus, told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused. But afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says, and will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? And now let's turn to the passage which contains the text this morning. And this is found earlier on in Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 11. So Luke 11. We read the verses 1 till 13. The focus for the sermon consists of the verses 5 till 8. You might find it handy just to keep the Bible open at that passage during the sermon. So Luke 11 from verse 1. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. And now the verses are the focus this morning, the verses 5 till 8. And he said to them, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything, because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, And the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be open. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, have you ever cried out, Lord, why don't you answer my prayers? Have you ever wondered? Others seem to have so many amazing answers, but never me. And have you ever sighed, Father, you know how hard I've tried. Brothers and sisters, young people, haven't you asked these questions sometimes? Perhaps even now you are laying something before the Lord with such an intensity that just the thought of it drives you to despair. Right now you can really relate to how David feels in his Psalms. Listen, Jesus told the story of someone who also needed something very desperately. It is a story, or a parable is another name for it, that brought home to our Lord's disciples exactly the reason why they should pray, and pray using this model of the Lord's Prayer. They know the situation he is speaking of very well. Jesus is using a common scene to bring alive for them what prayer is all about. So, do you want to pray? Does your soul anguish for knowing how to speak with the Lord, how to speak with the lover of your soul himself? You're not satisfied once or twice a day in always the same way. You yearn to be in constant contact. You yearn to be in that closest communion. In fact, you know deep down that's the way it should be. Oh, how vastly different our Lord is with us. He takes your heart, weak and fragile though it is, and he joins it to his strength through the Spirit. Someone once very perceptively said, if your knees are knocking, if you are really in a troublesome time and greatly bothered, if your knees are knocking, kneel on them. In that moment of utter weakness, say it out loud. Why? Well, through this parable of our Lord, you learn to truly lay yourself before him, because firstly, true prayer means you have to. Secondly, true prayer means you always do. And thirdly, true prayer means he answers you. Dear Christian, true prayer means you have to. Our first aspect. And this is what we see through the man in verse 5 who has quite some dilemma. He is in a terribly awkward spot. You see, in the middle of the night, a friend has arrived after a journey, and he has got nothing for him to eat. Let's not get this wrong. We mustn't misunderstand this. The Jews could not sleep on this. There was no, let's just wait until the morning. He has to feed his friend who has just arrived. Otherwise, what kind of friend is he? And what kind of host was he then for someone who had been on the dry and dusty track or a wet and windy road the whole day? maybe even the whole week. Their customs of hospitality were there for good reason. Travel was no easy proposition in that time. Well, what do? He has got caught out with no food to feed his visitor. Ah, but there's his friend. He is pretty sure that he has got what he needs. So he goes to his mate. He says to him, as verses 5 and 6 record, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves for a friend of mine who has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him." He's doing the right thing. He is proving his love for the one who has come to him. Though, let's now put ourselves in the shoes of the friend he goes to. And let me tell you that getting the family into bed then was quite some involved process. You see, they're all in the same one room. The sleeping mats are laid out in a very tight arrangement. To get up now meant you'll end up waking up the whole family as you stumble over them to find the light and get the bread. It would be a bit like that camping holiday that you might have gone on with your family once, and you're nice ensconced in that one tent. Then don't you dare to forget anything to do before you should go to bed. And there you have exactly the thinking of his friend who is in bed. And for what? 3 loaves? 3 loaves? And they're not our size loaves either. They would have been the equivalent of 3 larger type buns. 3 buns. For that, he has to walk over his children. And you know they're hard enough to get to sleep anyway. And then light a candle, get the bread, open the door. But there's no stopping the one outside. He knows he's a nuisance, but you have to. And this is exactly the same with prayer. Our Lord is telling us that despite our feelings, regardless of our circumstances, true prayer means you have to. A hymn writer expressed this absolute necessity. He wrote, "Prayer is the Christian's vital breath, the Christian's native air." And it's what Luke confirms later, as we read in chapter 18, verse 1. "And Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray." Dear friend, this is no optional extra in that multitude of things that make up your life. No one can say, "Well, I don't really feel like it today. Give it a break." Whether your situation is good or bad, or somewhere in between, you have to do it. True prayer means you do it. We might not like the idea of compulsion, but this couldn't actually be more the opposite. For how could it be something that's compulsory when it all comes out of truly being in love? This is the communion with God, which is what Scripture is all about. This is the connection that spiritually surpasses anything we have physically. It's of this that Paul wrote in Philippians 4:6, "Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." Congregation, this is no rule or regulation. This is the most complete relationship. And yet Paul has to say more. In his first letter to the Thessalonians, he says that we are to pray continually. True prayer means you have to. And it means, in a second aspect, true prayer means you always do. The apostle combines the two. If you are going to properly pray, you will always persist with prayer. The man in Jesus' story needs three loaves. And because of what he owes to his guest, he persists until he gets it. You always do. That man will risk his friendship with his neighbor to be a good host to his guest. He keeps on knocking. And so, dear friend, please never give up. Maybe you've experienced quite the opposite. All those pious people tell you you should never give up, and the Lord will answer you, and he'll answer you quite magnificently. But it doesn't happen. And it's not as though you aren't trying. How many times haven't you poured out your anguish to God about a son or daughter or brother or sister who's left his ways? Only God knows how burdened you are for that close family member who doesn't confess Christ. And then there's that sin that keeps tripping you up. You've prayed yourself stupid about that. And still it keeps hanging on there. There seems to be no answer to your prayer. It appears like that to the man in this parable. In verse 7, he gets the response from his close neighbor, "Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything." Do you think the man outside is going to give up, though? Is he going to pack it in and wander home, muttering, "What's the use anyway? Should never have tried." You know, he could have been outside his neighbor's house for a long time. That door could have been worn down by his knocking. The point is that he persists. You always do. And Jesus wants his disciples and us too to persist in prayer. Yes, we're also his disciples in this. This is said as much to us as it was to the 12. He is saying to us all, "This is what you have seen in me. Now, since you have been saved to join with me, this is the way you ought to be." And didn't Jesus show how much we have to pray, even if we don't get an answer straight away or an answer our way at all? Actually, believer, isn't it when you don't get your answer that praying all the time makes sense? If the answers were instant, we wouldn't have to ask all the time. So the Lord makes us depend upon him that much more. Congregation, we know we have to pray. True prayer means you always do. And tell me, what good is a carpenter if he doesn't work with wood? How is a baker any use if he's not baking? You say you're a Christian, but do you pray? And do you pray persistently? I mean, can a top sports team win games if it doesn't train? Could you survive without food or drink? Of course not. That sports team has to train continuously. You have to eat and drink continuously. And in the same way, you have to pray persistently. If this is our vital breath, the Christian's natural climate, his spiritual life, we must be doing it all the time. You wouldn't be alive in Christ if you didn't. Even when you don't get that answer you wanted or expected, the Heavenly Father knows best. Think about it. Isn't that why we prayed him in the first place? Didn't our first reading show the value of continuous prayer? That widow who needed justice had no claim whatsoever on that judge. Widows in that society didn't have any rights. And the judge couldn't care one tiny hoot about her problem. But He gave in because he got sick and tired of her constant nagging. And Jesus said, in conclusion, in Luke 18:7, "And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily." That widow was a nobody, yet one of God's chosen is somebody. And just as that widow was finally granted justice, so too in our text, the neighbor finally gets up and gives his friend what he needs. This is confirmed in verse 9 following our text. The original Greek tells us we have to keep on asking and seeking and knocking. In the Lord's time, he'll speak back, he'll answer. And all of this brings us exactly to this. For in the third aspect to our text, we see true prayer means he answers you. True prayer means he answers you. Dear believer, there will come a reply. You will be answered at the right time. The man in this parable of Jesus is persistent because he knows he'll get an answer. He has to. His close neighbor is obligated to get up and give him what he needed, even if it meant waking up the rest of his family. Why? Well, if it isn't out of any sense of friendship or duty, it will be because of that constant knocking on the door. Perhaps they won't be the best of mates after this, but that doesn't matter at all. The point of this parable is that the man's persistence was finally answered. He got what he needed. Brothers and sisters, young people, if even an imperfect human being gives help in these circumstances, how much more won't the Lord God, who's full of loving kindness, listen to us, his chosen ones, his children, and answer our prayers? And it's in this vein our Lord goes on after our text to really bring it home. The Father's children have to speak with him. As Jesus says in verses 9 and 10, "And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be open." Just as that good host kept on asking his close neighbor, knowing the door will be open and the bread will be given to him, so you have to be faithful in prayer. Don't give up. In faith, you know God answers your cries. You believe he will give you exactly what you need. Might not be what you want or when you want it, but there is always an answer exactly for you. Our Lord wants us to be persistent. He wants you to keep at it. You have to believe it will happen and be ready for it to happen, whatever his answer might be. And we're able to do this, dear Christian. You can pray, you can talk with God himself, because he gives you what you need to do it. Through the birth, the life, the suffering, the death, and the burial of our Lord Jesus Christ, you can pray to God and know that Jesus, who's there, right there at his right hand, is making your prayer come to him. Always he's pleading with the Father. Jesus right now gives you the example to be always at it. Our Lord up there right now is pointing out to his Father what he did on our behalf. He pleads for us on the basis of what he did. So he makes those prayers receive divine attention straight away. Dear believer, your prayers will be heard and answered. God's gift of his own dear Son guarantees it will be so. And God doesn't answer us like that neighbour did to his friend. He doesn't answer us to get rid of us. He is our loving Father. He is after our very best. This is a love we don't deserve, and we certainly can't pay it back. But this is the love we have through Jesus Christ, our Saviour and Lord. That's why we pray ending in his name. But it's also why we never ever stop praying in his name. Let's do that right now. Amen. Let's pray. Dearest Lord Jesus, please humble us so that we do pray and so that we always pray. Help us to depend on you so that we can't live without listening to you in your word. And we are loving you back with our prayer. We are so privileged being found of you. Help us by your Spirit so to do, for your name's sake. Amen.